This tonight about prayer and fasting. This is a subject that obviously goes against the flesh, but it's an important subject, especially if you're pursuing answers to prayer, if you're calling on the Lord to intervene in some circumstance or some need that you have, then to seek the Lord and to just go up a whole new level of prayer by adding times of fasting with your times of prayer. Matthew 17, if you'll look there with me tonight, Matthew chapter 17. The first part of the chapter is the transfiguration and the wonderful experience there on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then, coming down from the mountain, verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, they came to a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, yes, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Interesting enough, these disciples, when you go back a few chapters, and they did cast out devils, and they did heal the sick, but this was a circumstance that they came up against that was beyond their power. In this case, they were not successful. They were not able to help this child that was so under the control of this demonic force. And it took Jesus describing to them what was necessary, the key to them being able to have power to bring deliverance to this child, only by prayer and fasting. Certain strongholds are only brought down and broken whenever we're willing to crucify the flesh and to seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. I just want to be open with you here tonight about this, but over the last week or so, I've been so troubled over the circumstance that happened with Michael and Shonda. It has been such a troubling thing to me. As you know, they came here to the church on Thursday, and first Michael came and wanting to talk to me, and I invited him in to the church and into my office, and we talked for a while. And this was a young man. Now, just looking back on the circumstance and all that took place, now I realize even more than ever, this was a young man that was under an attack, a satanic attack against him, against his mind, against his ability to even rationalize anything. Nothing I said made any difference. I read the Bible to him. I gave him a Bible. We prayed together. More than once we prayed together. Then Shonda came in. We prayed again with them together. We came in here, as I mentioned this morning. We came in here to the altar. They knelt. They prayed. They both cried out to God for help, asking God to help them, to save them. And then actually Michael came three times to our house. And this was a young man desperate for help and in need. And just confused and under the control of no doubt this demonic spirit of murder and hopelessness, and then the tragedy took place. And for me, I just have not been able to get beyond it. It's just been something, it's been such a troubling thing to me, and to know that I had them within my reach, to know that I was able to pray with them, and I did my best. I did all I could do, but it was not enough. It was not enough. My prayers were not enough. I read to Michael, I read to him certain sections of scripture and pointed him to others, telling him, when you can't sleep at night, read these verses. Go to these passages of scripture. Read these verses. He said that he would. And but yet we all know now the tragedy of what took place in that situation. Folks, we are dealing with circumstances in these last days that are beyond our natural ability. We can't deal with it in our own strength. We cannot. We need a special endowment of power to be able to face some of the things that we're facing in these last days. Revelation 12 and 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is coming down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. He understands, Satan knows that his time is short, and so we are dealing with so much darkness, so much demonic activity in these last days. We need help from God. We need power with God. And this needs to be a place where people that are desperate can come and they can get help. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you empower us so that when desperate souls come seeking for help, that we are able to pray and touch God and to experience the mighty power of God's deliverance for those that are held captive. There are certain strongholds that are beyond our normal abilities. Jesus said, you see that mountain? That mountain can be removed and cast into the sea. And some of you may be dealing with some strongholds in your life that are big problems and big situations. You have prayed about it and prayed about it. Maybe some lost loved one or a person that you're concerned about. And you have prayed and prayed and prayed, but you have not seen any evidence that stronghold is being broken in their lives. And sometimes even some of the sicknesses. Now, I don't believe that everyone that is sick, that it's a devil or a demon necessarily, but I do know this, that in 1/3 of the instances in the New Testament where there was sickness and healing and deliverance, 1/3 of those, there was demonic attack. Demonic strongholds and spirits of infirmity and spirits that was attacking the physical bodies of people. So sometimes there are strongholds in the minds and the hearts of people. They can't hear the gospel. They can't receive the gospel, and they just won't. And it just can't penetrate their heart. That's why we must fast and pray. There are some people that we've prayed for to be healed for a long time, and they're still battling with physical problems and with illnesses, and they're not seeing a deliverance. There are strongholds in their physical health, and we need to fast and pray to see that spiritual stronghold brought down. Amen. Now, I understand. I'm just as weak as any of you all in the flesh, that fasting it goes against everything in our physical and our flesh. I understand how difficult that it is. But whenever you make a commitment to seek the Lord with fasting and prayer, there is just something extra special about the power of God that is associated with your willingness to seek the Lord with fasting and prayer. Isaiah 58 and verse 6, 7, and 8, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked that cover him, and that hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. So whatever area of stronghold that you or maybe some that you're concerned about, that unsaved, and it appears that no amount of prayer for them, no amount of encouraging them to turn to God, they're not willing to do it. And it's like you're up against this wall and that can't be penetrated. But it could be, and it can be, if we'll seek the Lord. If we'll fast and pray, we can see God begin to break down some strongholds, and those that need to be saved, and some of those that need to be healed and delivered, for some that are dealing with all kinds of strongholds in their life, God can do that. And really, revival is a wonderful time. I know when we think of revival, we think of, well, souls coming in and being saved, and certainly we want to see that take place. But the reality is, revival has to start with you and me in the church, in the body of Christ, where we see strongholds in our own lives, our own minds, tore down, brought down, and it can't happen unless we're willing to pray and fast. Really, throughout the scripture, fasting is associating with humbling yourself before God, humbling your soul before the Lord. We have a problem with this. Most of us do, because we want to be self-sufficient. We want to take care of our problems, and we have a tendency to try to do that in our own strength. But we have to humble ourselves and be willing to admit that we cannot. There are things we cannot do and that are out of our power and out of our control, and we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible says when we do that, then he will lift us up. He's the one that will exalt us. He's the one that will help us if we are willing to seek the Lord. You can go to the book of Ezra chapter 8, and it gives the account of Ezra, who is leading a remnant of people out of captivity to go back to Judah. And he's made his appeal to the Persian king and has gotten permission from the Persian king to go back, and even permission to take all of the wealth that was stolen away from the temple in Jerusalem, which amounted to, and it goes through all the amounts and the wealth that was stolen away, it amounted to about 175 in today's money, $175 million dollars in gold and silver from the temple treasury that they were going to be able to take back. And it says in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way, and for our little ones and for all of our substance. Then he says, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy. Now they're carrying $175 million worth of gold and silver from the temple to take back to Jerusalem. And they're going to be traveling something like 800 miles in a caravan back. And there are no doubt a lot of thieves and robbers along the way. And he said, I was ashamed to say give us some security guards to go with us and provide that, because when he had made his appeal to the king, he said, the hand of God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power is and his wrath is against all of them that forsake him. And so he called a fast because he recognized we are going to have help from God if we're going to be able to get all the way those hundreds of miles with all of those thieves and robbers along the way who would love to steal and take all that that belongs back in Jerusalem, back in the temple. We're going to have help from God. So we fasted and we besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. And you can read on in the chapter. And they arrived in Jerusalem safe and sound with all of their possessions to place them back in the temple. It was a miracle, but it was Ezra's willingness to say, we can't do this without God. We're not going to be able to accomplish this if God doesn't help us and protect us and move in this situation. Amen. We need to be reminded, folks, that we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and be willing to admit, God, we need help. God, we need help. And as Christians, as believers, we have so many challenges and so many things that the enemy is throwing in our way. We must have help from the Lord. We must call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. It's the right thing to do to humble yourself and to admit you need help from God. You need help from the Lord here tonight. And as we move into these days of revival, now they will only be church services. I know Brother Martin will come and he'll do his best, and I know he'll preach with an anointing, but we've got our part to play in this. We've got to prepare our hearts. We've got to get ready for God to move. And I just want you to just mentally take a survey of our church across the congregation and every life and every family and all the different ones that are within our reach and connected to the church. And just remember the fact that we're powerless to help them. We can't do anything about their needs. There's nothing that's within our ability and our power to change any of the circumstances. And I would love to see the altars filled with people seeking God and coming to the Lord and being saved and truly born again. That would be wonderful. But we're up against a real devil who's trying to stop that from happening, who wants to hinder a move of God and stop what God wants to accomplish. And so as a church family, we need to admit, God, we need help from you. We need strength and power, Lord, from you. We cannot do it in our own strength. And so we call upon the Lord. I understand, especially those of you that work long hours every day, it's a challenge to try to fast. You're working and expending a lot of your energies in your work. I understand it's tough to try to fast and pray in a time like this. And so it's when you're working and doing all that you do throughout your daily responsibilities, I understand it's tough. But I just want to challenge you. Maybe you cannot fast all day, every day during that week, but you can set aside some times. You can set aside some meals. Even if it's one meal a day, you can set that time aside to seek the Lord instead of feeding yourself physically. You can feed your soul in the presence of God and ask God to empower you and to anoint you so that you can pray with power and that we can be what God wants us to be as a church. Amen. We need power with God, and it can come if we're willing to fast and pray. You understand that when God wants to do something fresh and new in our lives, that that's a good time to fast and pray. It really is. When you're seeking the Lord about his plan, about his will, it's good to tune out the world and tune out all the things of this world and focus and tune in to the voice of the Lord. And if you're listening, he'll speak. And I know that sometimes when it comes to our desire to do something for God and do something fresh and new, we don't just need good ideas. We need ideas that come from God. We need fresh new things that come from God so that we're able to face the challenges that we're up against in these last days. In the book of Acts chapter 13, just before the great missionary movement began and all of the missionary journeys began, before that ever happened, it was there in Antioch that it says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so this was a new missionary endeavor that they were setting out to accomplish, to go into new areas, new cities, new nations. And they were moving out to do some things they had never done before. But the New Testament church recognized that they needed divine direction and power, and they needed the Lord to show them exactly what to do and where to go and when to go. And it required that they seek the Lord. And that church in Antioch, they fasted and they prayed, and God directed them, and the Holy Ghost spoke to them and told them exactly what that they were to do. And so if you are thinking about some new endeavor or some new outreach or some new ministry that you want to be involved in, you better seek the Lord about it. You better fast and pray about it. Any new thing, any new decision or move that you're making, we need the help of the Lord. We need to call upon the Lord and believe that God is going to give divine direction. When they fasted and prayed, then the Lord spoke by the Spirit. The Lord spoke to them, telling them exactly what they were to do. Amen. You guys that are going to Bible school in a few weeks, it'd be a good thing to fast and pray about what is next for you. Amen. Because you're stepping out. You're stepping out in ministry, toward the ministry, toward the will of God, and seek the Lord. Fast and pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And if you want God's hand upon your life to bless your endeavors and what you're attempting to do, seek the Lord with fasting and prayer and believe that God is going to direct your steps. The book of Nehemiah, you remember the story how that Nehemiah received the report of the destruction of Jerusalem and all of the terrible circumstances of the city of Jerusalem and the conditions that it was in. And it says, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Because he was getting ready to step out. He was the king's cupbearer. He was getting ready to risk his life to go before that king and make an appeal to that king for the city of Jerusalem, to go back and to restore and rebuild the walls and to do all the things that Nehemiah was called to do. But he didn't make the step. He didn't do it without first crying out to God with fasting and prayer, asking the Lord to prepare the way before him. And that's exactly how God moved for him, because he sought the Lord with fasting and prayer. So as a body, as a church family, I do believe that there are certain things that will not be accomplished unless we pray and fast. It's not going to happen. Amen. And I know that Some of you prayed about loved ones, family members for years, many, many, many years. And it seems like that to no avail. But I do believe that when we fast and pray, there's power. There is power, and lives can be impacted, and lives can be changed whenever we're willing. The disciples didn't know before they had cast out devils. They had healed the sick. But now they've come up against something that's like a mountain before them, and they cannot deal with this spiritual stronghold that's in this child's life. They couldn't do anything about it. They were powerless to help him. But Jesus let them know that that all it would take is just faith, the size of a grain of mustard. That's all it was going to take to see that mountain removed and cast into the sea. Big things can be changed when we pray and fast. Amen. Amen. A lot of situations that seem overwhelming to you and impossible to you, it can change when we fast and pray. Amen. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. That's just how that God wants to work and speak to us here tonight. And I just want to challenge everybody here that you would tonight and over these next few days ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to approach this week? How do you want me to fast and pray? If it's one full day or two full days or however many, or if it's just a meal a day, whatever it is, however God directs you in this time of seeking the Lord, and it'll make all the difference in the revival. It'll make all the difference whenever we seek the Lord with fasting and prayer. And I just challenge you here tonight, let the Lord speak to you and deal with your heart so that we can see God really bring down some strongholds. Amen. Amen. Would you believe God with me over these next few days? Amen. Let's believe God. Why don't we stand together here tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray together here around this altar tonight. And I'll just add this.